Three sides of the coin. We talk about our buying experiences and how I'm such a loser for thinking my Destroyer vinyl album was defective.
You're not going to want to miss this one.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Three Sides of the Coin. I'm one of your co-hosts, Mike Branville, and as always, I'm joined by Tommy Spears. How are you doing, Tommy?
Hola, peeps. How's it going, Mike?
Not too bad. Got a hacking cough. Hacking cough. I was compliments of my lovely daughter Tuli. She got sick last week, and as I took care of her, and she was spitting all over me because she was just happy to see Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm going to get sick, I promise you. And sure enough, I got sick after it. I was sick the week before she got sick, so maybe I got her sick.
So that could be.
Fair turnabout's fair play. She got me sick again. But I've just, like, the last day, I've just been hacking up a lung.
Mm-hmm. Just wait till she goes to elementary school and brings that stuff home.
So, you know, I'm, like, down in water. I'm donning throat lozenges and... who knows how long my voice will make it here and how strong it's going to be, but we'll see. So, welcome. Three Sides of the Coin. We're back again for another week. You know, we got to really do something about our third co-host. Just got to make some time to sit down and go through all the freaking auditions.
But, you know, we are making forward progress. For those of you that, well, you won't be aware of this yet, but we just recorded a new version of Dropping the Needle with a new co-host.
Yes.
Izzy Presley. So that will be, what, launched later this week?
Later this week. Well, by the time you're watching this show,
it'll already be
posted.
Yeah. So we are making headway.
We are making headway, slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. So, check it out, because it might be interesting to you guys. We talk about Sebastian.
Izzy fit in great. The riot. Arrived.
Izzy has bowel movement issues.
Oh my god. Oh Lord. We should have recorded it in the bathroom. That would have been funny.
Too much echo.
Yeah, exactly. Wrong things echoing. So let's just do a quick housekeep. Guys, head over to iTunes. Love it. Please rate us, review us. iTunes.threesidesofthecoin.com. We greatly appreciate it. And for those of you who love your Tuesdays, can't wait for Tuesday to arrive because a new show's here, and if you feel like donating, we totally appreciate it. We use that donation money for all sorts of things for supporting the show. Like I said, last week I was spending some money for us on some Facebook advertising. Facebook got back to me and said they made a mistake.
Seas have parted.
Yeah, exactly. There's no Facebook branding in that KISS photo, so they approved the ad and it's been running, or it ran for a week.
Perfect.
Head over to threesidesofthecoin.com, and you can find the links on the right or the left sidebar on any of the show pages if you want to make a donation, whatever small amount it might be, greatly appreciated.
Yep, absolutely, and we put every penny back into the show. It's just for improved mics. It's for, you know, ads. It's for all the things that we do from a maintenance standpoint.
Yep, I won't use it to buy KISS merchandise.
No.
Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. So, Tommy, you got a comment for this week?
Yeah, I do. This one is a Facebook comment. It comes from Peter Marino, and he is commenting on the episode that dropped today where we talk about the book signing that Mike attended last week in San Francisco. And Peter wrote, in the Q&A, he mentioned something like the song that he... Wait a minute, I'm sorry. In the Q&A, he mentioned something like, I like the songs I wrote. He seems to be dissing Gene's songwriting lately, especially in his book. The reason I chose this one is because I thought it was an interesting topic, because Paul has been very open and honest about a lot of different things, and it's interesting how you can look at stuff and people see things differently. I didn't get that at all. I think that I felt that he was talking about himself, that, look, I'm proud of what I've done, but I didn't feel like he was picking on Gene or saying that Gene was a substandard songwriter or choose your, you know.
Yeah, adjective. I mean, I think Paul's been pretty clear when he has been picking on Gene. He says mm-hmm. Gene specifically. He doesn't do it in an underhanded way that you got to kind of figure out. I think he's got no problems if he doesn't like Gene's songs to say that. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it is interesting how, you know, just the basis of the show, two sides, three sides to every story. I mean, there's two, everybody's got a different view. You're going to see it differently than I see it.
Totally.
And that's fine. It's totally cool. Hopefully we can just have some respectful discussions about it.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I guess I just don't, my advice is don't be too quick to read into something. Paul has been pretty good, I think, about coming right out and saying what he thinks. And I mean, think about it. If you were a partner with someone for 40 plus years making music, you're not going to tear their ability down. And I don't believe that. I just think, like I said, he's proud of what he's done.
But you know, I also think that it just would make sense to me that Paul's going to like his songs better than Gene's.
Well, of course.
I mean,
I
would expect that.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that it's a negative against Gene.
Yeah, I wouldn't look at everything, even when people say direct comments about somebody else's writing ability or something. I don't always look at everything as like, oh, he's picking a fight. Oh, he's trying to cause. It's just like, dude, it's just. Paul saying what he thinks. It's Gene saying what he thinks. It's Ace saying what he thinks. It's Peter, you know. Not everything is being done to throw a punch.
Well, and sometimes it's being said out of emotion. I mean, how many times as just, as a person, have you said something that you've regretted later? I mean, we all are guilty of that. So sometimes I think it's just said out of anger or frustration, but there may not be truth to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I don't get too caught up into that stuff. Listen, personally me, I think a lot of Gene's songs have sucked. But I will say this. On the last two albums, I think Gene's songs have been phenomenally better than Paul's songs.
Interesting.
I think on Sonic Boom and Monster, Gene really stepped up and wrote better songs.
Yeah, you can definitely tell when he's trying versus when he's not.
And everything that's been said in interviews, Paul sat down and said, you have to write. Don't just bring in old recycled demo crap. I want you to sit down and make an effort at this. And he did. And Gene has got some great songs on these last two albums. Stuff that Gene did in the 80s, come on. That stuff is pretty much throwaway crap.
Mm-hmm. But that's, like I said, you can really tell when he's making an effort.
So
let's move on. What do you want to talk about today?
So today I bought some of the new vinyl.
Oh, you did?
From Amazon to fill out my collection. Okay. Not everything, just the items that I don't have or have never been released on vinyl before. And the first one came in yesterday. I have yet to open it, so.
Well, let me ask you something before you go any further. Do we have a date yet on when the box set is actually coming out?
No idea.
They haven't? Okay.
No idea. Yeah. So this is not from the box set, people. Didn't buy that. Go to Amazon.com and I'm sure other places and they're releasing monthly a different allotment of vinyl. So I've ordered this one. I ordered Carnival of Souls, even though I absolutely hate the album. I won't listen to it, but I want to just complete my vinyl collection. What did they? I can't remember what they called it, but it was the Millennium Concert, the original album cover of the Millennium Concert. So I've ordered those three on vinyl because I don't have them. They were never available before. So what I thought I would do, open this up today.
Oh, cool. And how much was that?
I don't know, like $35, something like that. Pretty expensive. Okay. But
It's fine.
You know, I'm only ordering, I think for the three of them, came to like $110 for three vinyl.
Perfect.
So first impression, you probably can't see it here. It's got the lenticular cover. So it's got the 3D lenticular effect like the CD had. Little sticker.
PMRC.
Up in the corner that says 180 gram audiophile vinyl, first ever vinyl pressing. It's got the KISS 40th anniversary logo, which I think that logo is horrendous.
I'm not a fan.
Stupid logo. Looks like something that was done with a bunch of Photoshop filters. Anyway, and then the back, nothing special that jumps out to me on the back. And it's shrink wrap, so I will rip the shrink wrap off, which will probably cause some KISS fans to scream in agony as I'm destroying the mint seal on this.
It's like Christmas.
No longer mint. Mint in packaging, no more.
Now it's got fingerprints on it.
But here's what I will do. I will take my scissors and cut the little bit of that, and I'll put it in the album, so I keep that.
There you go.
So let's see. Oh, the lenticular is attached to the cover. So I was wondering if... So when they released the CD, they did release album flats of the lenticular cover.
Mm-hmm.
I remember giving a bunch away at KISS Online. So I was kind of wondering if they just took a bunch of those and
laid
it on top of a regular vinyl jacket and shrink wrapped it. But this is the actual cover. You can see that it's glued to. Ooh, it's coming off a little bit here.
Uh oh. Maybe you need to return it and get a different one.
Well, if I was a crazy psycho fan, I probably would.
No, you would have never opened it in the first place.
I would have bought two.
One to open, one to keep mint.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so slide it out. Nice insert.
So it's not a gatefold.
Not a gatefold.
Okay.
And the backside has lyrics.
Oh, that's nice. I always like when they do that.
And let's see. What else is on here? I got to take my glasses off because I'm blind. Just some of the basic credits. Probably the same stuff that was on the CD. Band credit. Who was produced by, mastered by, recorded when, at the studios. Endorsement, management, art direction, logo design, LP design. So that's all that's on the back.
Okay.
And let's slide the album out. Slide one. Slide two.
Okay, so I don't have the list memorized for the songs, but does it look like it's in the same order it is on the CD and just cut into two sides?
Yeah, or did they rearrange side one, Psycho Circus, Within, Pledge Allegiance, The State of Rock and Roll, Into the Void, and We Are One.
Okay.
And side two, You Wanted the Best, Raise Your Glasses, I Finally Found My Way, Dreamin', and Journey of a Thousand Years. So, there you go. No other inserts. Apparently the other albums have inserts, if the original release did.
Okay.
So there you go. That's it. I haven't listened to it. I suppose I could now that I've opened it.
Do you think that it would have been any different for you had you had that the day it came out versus the CD? Do you think? Because, you know, not holding the artwork and having all of it, and then there's something about listening to one side and flipping it over and listening to the other that you lose with the CD. Do you think it would have made any difference?
I don't know if it would have made... The only difference it would have made is in the experience.
Yeah, but would it have been a better experience?
For me, it would have, because I've experienced that before.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of fans who've never experienced that, because I kind of liken it to the cereal box. When you were a little kid and you were having your Captain Crunch and you got the bowl, you're turning the box around and you're reading the back. Then you read the mm-hmm. side, and then you read the front, and then you read the other side. So you're taking in everything on the box. And that's what it was with vinyl, is, you know, you'd take this out and you'd put it down and you drop the needle on side one, and while that's happening, you're kind of listening to the music. You're not paying close attention to the music the first time, because you're just taking everything in. At least this is how I did it. And then you would, you know, I'd be looking at this while Psycho Circus, the first song, was playing, and then I'd flip this over and I'd look at the back again, and I'd read all the fine print and all the credits. And then when you got done with the cover, pull the sleeve out, and then you'd start reading through the sleeve and read everything on there, and then mm-hmm. the other side of that. So, you know, yeah, it gave you something to do while you were listening to the music.
Because I've always been a big believer in the artwork and the packaging has so much to do with the experience of hearing the album for the first time. And you lose that now with the CDs, because you pop it in the car or whatever it is, and now digitally.
You especially lose it with the downloads.
Well, and that was one of the first ones that I can remember where people had the album beforehand, before it was released.
It leaked, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't even send it to me. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know anything about it. And they all looked at me like I was insane. It's just like, no, I want to go out and I want to go and buy it. I want to open it and sit down and do exactly what you're talking about. Listen to it from the beginning to end. Look at all the artwork. Look at the liner yep. notes, and just really take it in the first time as a complete and entire package. And I think that's the other problem is we as a music public have really moved away from that experience, and now it's just like too easy for people to go and just skip through songs.
Sure, it definitely is. I mean, when you're listening on vinyl, if that song doesn't connect with you, if you want to skip, you've got to actually get up, go over to the record player, lift the needle up, move it over, try and drop it at the break between yep. two songs, and then go. So a lot of times you just, out of sheer laziness, would listen through all of the crap because you mm-hmm. just didn't want to get up.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I will take digital downloads any day of the week right now. I mean, because I want the instant gratification of having the music.
Right.
I don't want the, all right, I need a new album's coming out, but I can't get it until Wednesday when I can get out of the house and do something and then drive over and get it. And especially if it's on vinyl, you can't listen to it until you get home. You know, when I want to listen to some music, I want to listen right now.
But that's part of the ritual for me.
I'm excited to, I can't get to that song fast enough, and the download does that for me.
But don't you think some of that instant gratification is also what's created the loss of the other part of it? You know, I mean,
I think the loss of the other part of it comes from some of the basics of, you know, when you deliver digital onto this, you don't need all of this physical. It just, right. you don't physically need it. So to cut down on costs, to raise your profit margin, to give you a higher return on investment, you don't.
Right.
You don't do all of this. And I totally get that.
Oh, I do too. It's just it's changed so much, and I feel bad sometimes for some of the younger fans who haven't gotten a chance to experience and take the music in the way we had the opportunity growing up.
Again, they've never. How do you know you miss something if you've never had it?
Oh, I know. They don't. I'm saying, I'm looking at it going, well, I wish that my kids could experience some of the same things that I did, and that's an impossibility.
Impossibility, and I would bet a lot of kids would go, are you freaking nuts? Why do I want to go drive? Why do I want to drive somewhere or wait for Amazon to deliver me the music to listen to? I want to listen to it right now.
Yeah, this second.
I want it this second. I feel like listening to Psycho Circus now. I don't want to wait for the vinyl to be delivered to me.
Right.
And then have to get home and listen to it, and then have to go in a different room because that's where my record player is, because it can't be in the living room to disturb everybody else. It's just like, you know, there is a ritual that goes around all of it, but it makes it difficult. I mean,
yeah, completely.
You can't head out to the beach and drop the needle on your new Psycho Circus vinyl out on the beach.
Mm-mm.
Can't do it while you're jogging.
Nope. It's got to be, and that's also too, it's the time frame, I think, where you're committing. I mean, when you got these new records and the average is, what, 38 to 40 minutes long, you committed to almost an hour of your time to sit and do nothing but listen to that. But it was a pure pleasure of hearing the music at that point. Now it seems like it's more of a an interesting thing that goes along with five other things you happen to be doing at the time.
I still get the pure, for me, the pure pleasure at the root has always been listening to the music for the very first time.
I agree.
The packaging was the frosting on a great cake.
Yeah.
But listening to the music for the first time was a cake.
I agree with that.
So I still get that. Even if it's digital and it's on here, I can't wait for that download to finish so I can plug my headphones in and hit play. Because that to me is the greatest thrill of hearing the notes for the very first time from an artist you can't wait to hear new music from.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like there's that many right now that I can't wait to hear what's new.
Well, yeah.
So,
but
for me,
you know, that's not packaging's fault.
No, not at all. But part of it is that because it's, I think for me, it's because it's such a rare occasion. That's why I still like to make the trip to the record store.
Yeah.
You know, to pick that disc up and bring it home and listen to the whole thing.
So on the topic of that experience, years ago when I was running Kiss Otaku, the first Kiss website I launched, which... When will this episode go live? Let me check something here, guys.
Well, today is what, the 6th?
6th. This goes live on the 13th. So, I launched Kiss Otaku on May 11th, 1995.
Wow. Seems like a lifetime ago.
So, and this, you're going to be listening to this episode on May 13th, 2015. 14. And that is 19 years ago. 19 years ago. That damn little bug. Fruit fly. 19 years ago, I launched Kiss Otaku. I did a thing on Kiss Otaku that was all about the experiences. Even back then, I was totally into sharing stories and having people, you know, write and email in their stories. So I had the buying experience. You know, what was one or two memories that you had of going out and buying a Kiss album? Then I had a different one called the listening experience, of talking about that experience of the first time you listened to it. Because a lot of times buying it was a completely different experience than listening to it.
Totally.
And then there was something around like buying your concert tickets, which back then was an experience. Today it's just sit in front of a computer and hit reload, reload, reload until you can get in. But it was all about these different experiences. So since today was sort of my buying experience of the new, I don't know if I'm covering up the mic when I do that, the new Psycho Circus album, let's talk about a couple of our buying experiences that we remember.
Okay.
And I don't care how long ago it was, which album it was. If, you know, you might hate the album, but the buying experience was fun. You know, this is not a review of the album at all, so we can stop at that point. Okay. But do you remember one of the times of buying a Kiss album?
Oh, yeah, I can remember several. The most memorable would be purchasing The Elder. And I think I've told you this story before, and you thought it was really funny. And this is, it is actually quite funny because I really look insane. And thinking back, I probably was. In Minneapolis, we had a huge snowstorm. over the weekend. And The Elder was released on, I believe, the 19th of November. And so that's a Tuesday because everything came out on Tuesday. I can't remember. I want to say that the storm was from Sunday into Monday sometime. So huge snowstorm, like 15, 16 inches of snow. We lose our power. But on Tuesday morning, you better believe I was at Ridgedale buying that record at the record shop or wherever it was that I purchased it. And we were supposed to have our power on, you know, by midday. And I sat at home and waited and waited and waited. I had a couple of friends over. And power just, I don't think it came on probably for another day or so. So I remember sitting in my room and we put the record on and hand spun the record to see if we could hear what the record sounded like. Because also too, back in those days, lots of times the first day of release, the vinyl came out, but the cassette or the 8-tracks did not. It wasn't always shipped all the same at the same time.
Right.
And so that's all we had. And I just remember being so frustrated, going, God, oh, it sounds so awesome, you know? But then you just couldn't tell the rest of it because you couldn't keep the speed right, so you got your head next to the actual turntable.
Right, you know,
trying to hear it, and that went on for a couple of days until I finally got to hear the whole thing when the power finally came on. So that's the one that really sticks out in my mind.
I've got a memory about The Elder as well, but I want to start with Destroyer. So I'd already gotten Rock and Roll Over as a gift from my mom as part of her joining the RCA Record Club. And, okay, I got to go find new music. And in Bloomington, and I just Googled this because I didn't know I couldn't remember the name of it. In Bloomington near me, there was a small mall called the Valley West Shopping Mall. And there was a record store in there. And I remember going in there, and it's, you know, it was a typical record store, pseudo head shop type of.
They all were.
They sold a little bit of everything. And I know Destroyer had already been out. So I wasn't specifically looking for Destroyer, but I was looking for Kiss.
How old were you probably at this time?
13 maybe.
Okay.
So I'm down there going through the record bins and the Destroyer album. Wow. Cool. You know, and it was probably $3.99 or $2.99 or something like that for the vinyl album. And and you know, actually, as I'm starting to think through this, this leads more into a listening experience than the buying experience. But I always remember.
Are you rolling with it?
Yeah, I'm rolling with it. So I bought it. I had no idea the songs that were on. It was just, hey, it's another Kiss record. This looks cool. And I get home. And, you know, again, I take it up out. I put it on my turntable. And the way I always listened to music back then was turn out the lights in my bedroom. Put the big ass headphones on with the long curly cord, like a telephone cord. And because you want the music to get as close to your ears as possible. You know, I don't want the sounds all out here. I want them right here. And drop the needle on it and it starts playing. Now, we all know the intro for the Destroyer album. It's the car crash. And I'm listening to this, and I swear to God, I am just like, what's going on here? There's no music here. And then I waited long enough, and then it started, the song started, and I did it again, and I was just like, something's wrong with my record. I'm thinking to myself, something is wrong. I still remember to this day thinking somebody recorded over my vinyl record and put some car crash shit in the beginning of the record. And I was going to take it back to the record store and say, this record is broken. It's defective. There's some car crash stuff at the beginning here. What is this?
You didn't, though, did
I
you?
Didn't. I okay. didn't. But I was just like, because, okay, you know, you're 13 years old. You're just getting introduced to music and records. Mm-hmm. So you're listening to records, and what do you hear on all the records you've got?
Songs.
Songs.
Mm-hmm.
I've never once on, and not that I had hundreds of records. I probably had 6 records at the time.
Right.
But not once did I hear something that sounded like a news report with a car crash recorded on it. This is right. wrong. Something got screwed up in the recording of this record. And to think that somebody did it on this one record.
Yeah, none of the others. Just none of the that
just
one.
My one. Somebody got into the record store and did something on the one record that I had.
It's amazing what you think when you're a kid.
When you're a kid, you don't know any better. You have right. no idea how records are made, how recordings are done. It's just sound coming out, and I've never heard anything other than music coming mm-hmm. off of a piece of vinyl before.
Right. Oh,
Where
yeah.
Where the hell is this stuff coming? This is what comes out of WCCO when I turn on the radio.
Yeah, it's a weather report. It's a car accident report.
It's a news, it's a traffic report from WCCO at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Hosted by Gene Simmons.
Not my Kiss record that I just bought.
Oh, that's good. I mean, told me that one.
No, that's my big experience on Destroyer. And frankly, I don't know why I never went back. Maybe I never went back because it was just too crazy of a concept that it ever happened.
Well, maybe you just kind of figured it out.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe I did just figure it out. But I was just like, I just remember thinking, somebody recorded over my record.
That's awesome. Oh, Lord. Well, at least you didn't go back. So, and those guys are probably at that place were really high. And they'd be like, oh, man, I bet you got a bad one. Let's give them another one.
Some 17-year-old. It's like, well, first of all, they're probably like, what the fuck are you buying Kiss for? That sucks.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. Here's the Doobie Brothers' newest record.
Exactly. You get some Bob Dylan, man.
Yeah. I can do a couple others.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Love Gun stands out for me. Because it's the first album I purchased with my own money. I shouldn't say that was the first Kiss album I purchased with my own money. And I earned the money for the record by helping my brother-in-law re-roof my parents' home. So I was the guy who was picking up nails off the ground and stuff, but he actually put me up on the roof and I was actually putting in shingles and stuff. And I just remember working for that. And the whole time being up on the roof, because I knew that was coming out in June and we were doing the roof at very end of May, probably Memorial weekend into June or whatever, somewhere in that range. It hadn't come out yet. I knew it was coming out. And all I could do is think about the fact that Ace is going to sing on the record, you know? And I was just so motivated to earn that money to get that record. And so it was a really big deal for me to actually hand the money over to the clerk to purchase that record, because it was money that I had earned, and I got to take that and spend it the way I wanted to spend it. I didn't have to put it in the bank. I didn't have to do something else with it that I didn't want to. I got to do what I wanted with it. And just the first view of the cover, you know, and thinking, God, this is cooler than the Destroyer cover, and just racing home to get it, like we were talking about, on the turntable to listen to it. You know, that was just really exciting for me.
That's the biggest, I don't know what's the best word to describe it, but that's, to me, when it came to brand new vinyl, it was that racing home.
Mm-hmm.
It's now been out. You know, the first, you've got the anticipation up to the day of it finally being released.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the anticipation of getting to the store, because you might not be able to do it until after school.
Oh, I couldn't.
After work. So, you know, it's just tormenting you through the entire day knowing that there's a new Kiss record sitting out there that waits for you.
Oh, the day was just awful in school.
And then you get there, and then you get it, and it's in your hands. It's in your hands. You know that inside here is music you've never heard before.
But I also, though, I do remember thinking that the Kiss logo in blood was really crappy. I didn't like that, and I thought that the gun itself was stupid.
I thought the gun was cool on that, but it's that drive back. I experienced that probably every single purchase.
Mm-hmm.
As long until you had a CD player in your car, it was, you've purchased it, you're now in the car driving home, and sitting next to you is this brand new album of music that you can't listen to this. It's waiting to be listened to, and I can't do it now for another 20 minutes until I get home. Goddamn traffic, move.
But I solved that problem after the Elder. So after the Elder, a friend of mine, Kendall, would go with me because he was buying the new Kiss record as well, but he always wanted it now at this point on cassette. So I'd buy a copy of the vinyl, he'd buy the cassette, we'd pop the cassette in the car on the way home. So then we didn't have to wait any longer. But that one just stuck out because it was a pride of earning the money yourself for a job you did, you know, and paying, because it's also a great experience, you know, and feeling, okay, I really have, now I've got something to show for what I did. The other one too that sticks out for me is Dynasty, because after the solo albums were done, again, I was like, oh gosh, what's the cover going to look like and all that sort of thing. And I just remember getting to the store in anticipation, also excited because I was really hoping that the release date was going to be the same day as my birthday, but it was a day off. Right. So it felt like an extra special birthday gift from the band because it's like right by my birthday.
Right.
But the first thing I remember thinking when I grabbed it is, what a cool cover. I flip it over and I'm like, there's only 9 songs. You know, what the hell? There's 9, you know? But then when you realize, well, 3 of them are aces, it's like, oh, well, wow, this is all right then.
See, because I never got into the, oh, there's only 9 songs, there's only this many songs, because it was all brand new. They could have given me 4 songs, and I would have been like, it's 4 Kiss songs I've never heard before.
But see, I didn't think of it that way. I mean, that's the only one I can remember ever questioning the number of songs. You know, just like, it just, because you're used to 10, 11, 12, whatever it was, and then it's like 9. I'm like, 9? What the hell?
Yeah, that never bothered me, because it was just all brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so caught up in everything being brand new that, again, you could have given me 6 compared to 12, and I would have still
been happy as hell.
I would have been happy as hell, because it was all brand new. But, you know, it got me thinking when you talked about how you'd drop the cassette tape in the player and listen to it on the way home, because after a while I would start doing that with CDs. You know, you'd rip it open in the front seat, and but that takes away from that listening experience then, because you can't really focus on the music, and you definitely can't focus on the album and the insert and the copy and all the thank yous, and because that's what
absolutely.
You know, actually, that's what, you know, there isn't anything like that on Psycho Circus. I loved more than anything reading the thank yous.
Mm-hmm.
I like, who is that person?
Why
did they get thanked? You know?
Yeah.
And when you were in a car listening to it for that first time, it was just, you're basically getting close to this experience. It's just,
absolutely.
It's just the music hitting you for that very first time. You can't sit there and look at the cover while listening to that song. And read the lyrics for the first time while you listen to that song for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's when it changed, you know? Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
But, and then also, too, how you'd come into the store and there'd be a whole rack of the new record, and then there'd be several other racks on either side of it that had all the other albums there as well. So you went in and it was like a huge Kiss display.
Yeah.
So you didn't even have to look for it. Whereas by the time Unmasked came out, I had no idea that the Peter Criss album had come out of control. I just happened to trip over it looking in the C's. They didn't even put it with Kiss. It was just pure luck.
Yeah.
So,
you know, my, one of my most vivid buying experiences was Creatures of the Night. And I've probably shared this on some of the older episodes. At that time, I was corresponding with a pen pal. And I think it was a pen pal that I actually had met or had found in the United States. I ended up having another pen pal, Adrian, over in England. Became a longtime Kiss fan, and we're still Facebook friends and everything else. But there was, for a short period of time, a pen pal that I had, like, in Utah somewhere. And you'd write letters back and forth, and he would send me photocopies of Kiss ads and stuff like that, and I'd send him stuff. You know, it's, think of the internet, but you had to do it in letters and photocopies and mailing it back and forth to each other.
Yeah, this is the old-fashioned version for you younger people of joining a chat group.
Facebook
page. On something, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's sending me these ads that were taken out of Kerrang! Magazine at the time. There might have been stuff from like Sounds or a few other English paper music magazines. But they were for Killers. Coming soon. Killers is coming. You know, four new songs. Here's the album cover. It's coming out on this date. That's everything that was going back and forth between us was about this new album, Killers, that was coming out. So the date comes. I head over to Great American Music, our big music warehouse store. I mean, huge, huge. I mean, think of like, you know, half the size of a Kmart.
Yeah, that's the mistake you made, though. You should have gone to Down in the Valley.
But I had to go to the closest one. You know, I'm not going to drive all over town. I had to go to the closest
one. So you're not a real Kiss fan if you're not going to drive all over town. What are you saying?
No, the real Kiss fan, you got to go to the place you can get it the soonest.
Well, apparently it wasn't Great American Music.
So I walk into Great American Music, and, you know, you head over to the left wall, which is their new release wall, and there's like 36 albums up there. And I know what the cover is going to look like, and I'm like, I don't see it. And then I'm like, what? That's Kiss. And I grab it, and it's Creatures of the Night.
Oh.
And I'm like, what is this? I mean, absolute shock and surprise for an album.
Do you remember about what time frame this was? Was it like it must have come out that week if it's on the wall?
Oh, it had to have come. I got to think, and I could be completely wrong and somebody can correct me, but Killers was coming out at the same time as Creatures. But Killers was only a UK release. It wasn't being released in the US. I didn't know this. I don't think any of us knew that. It was just Killers, ads, cool album, cool cover, new music. I'm looking for it. And instead, I don't find that. I find Creatures of the Night, an album I had no idea was happening. None.
That's amazing.
None whatsoever. I'm just like, talk about the best, most exciting, the biggest buying experience. It's the shock of a Kiss album you had no idea was happening.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, all the others, you're just like, oh, I know something's coming. I'm looking for it. You're staying in touch. This one, you're just walking in, and you're just like, double take, like, what?
Yeah, way to go, Polygram.
What did I just saw, yeah, I just saw a Kiss record, and I'm taking it down. I'm like, I've never seen this cover. The songs, I've never heard these songs before. It's not like a greatest hits album. I'm like, I got to buy this.
Boy, yeah.
I got to buy this right now. Of course, I went and continued to look for Killers. No sign of Killers. Okay. I don't know what happened there, but I got this one. Mm-hmm. And that was the drive that killed me the most to get back home. Because here's this album that I have no idea what it's about. None whatsoever. And it's sitting right next to me. It's just like, is this Dynasty? Is this going to be on Mast? Yep. What is this?
See, and I felt that way with The Elder because I had no idea what it was going to be. Whereas at least for me with like Creatures, I knew that it was a return to the heavier sound again. So, but I get what you're saying. It's that unknown, not knowing what this is going to be like.
Yeah.
That, you know, and you probably hit every red light on your way back on American Boulevard.
I just remember just like, it's just like, I don't know, Christmas morning, you're sitting at the top of the stairs as a little kid. I got to get down there because I know there's presents under the tree. I know they're there. I know there's new Kiss music on this album that I've never seen before and I've never even heard one peep about. And how do I... The music is just trying to come out through the cardboard. Says, play me.
You're lucky you didn't get in accidents staring at the cover.
Oh, it's just crazy. That was just, I don't know when I eventually ended up getting killers.
But I want to ask you this. What do you think about, okay, look at the way that they're able to draw both of us in for different reasons or the same reason in different time periods, because I can certainly relate to what you're saying. What are the new bands missing about that? Because I don't know. Is there any new bands that draw their fans in that way?
Well, I'm sure there are, but I think what's missing is the event, the release event. You know, it was like a birthday.
Yeah.
It was like Christmas when your band released. I mean, you would have a calendar, and for 6 months you'd have that date circled on the calendar.
Yeah, but
it's coming out. It's coming out. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. You know, and I just feel like that buildup is missing from so much music today.
But even then, to a certain degree, because I had friends who liked other bands, and I never saw them have that type of anticipation for a new release the way the Kiss fans did.
Well, I'm sure Iron Maiden fans would have. I'm sure
maybe.
Van Halen, Sabbath fans. I mean, I think it comes down to diehard fans of any band have that anticipation.
Right.
Now, how big of a group of diehard fans are there? Is it just two guys in your school, or is it 50?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of builds it up of, you know, you and your buddies and three other people are like, tomorrow, it's tomorrow. We're going to go buy it, and we're going to come in on Wednesday, and let's talk about what we thought about the Kiss record. You know, that's all of the anticipation.
Right.
It was also, back then, there was a lot less diversions in your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Might have had Atari 2600s.
Yeah.
But you didn't have computer systems. Cable really didn't exist.
Mm-mm.
You know, you just didn't have all of the diversion that you have now of let's do this, let's do that. You know, clearly the internet itself didn't even exist.
Well, yeah, and that's why the magazines to me have always been such a draw, because the magazines were where you got so much of your information.
So music could be an event. I mean, we can talk about this when we get to the listening experience, but for those of us old enough, that listening experience might include you and a friend or two coming over together, planning, tonight we're going over to Tommy's and we're going to listen to the new Love Gun album for the first time. That was the event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Not going over to Tommy's to play Grand Theft Auto 24 or whatever they're up to.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that.
Music has lost the event stature.
Yeah, now it's more just like a thing that goes along with a bunch
of
other stuff.
It's a new flavor of Pop-Tart being released.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's probably pretty accurate.
You know, it doesn't have that excitement. I think it's probably it's impossible to return back to that level of an event stature.
Oh, yeah, there's no way.
But I think there's things bands could do if they really wanted to make things exciting, to make things eventful, to get fans excited about it, to gather them around. I mean, I remember when Psycho Circus came out, I was running Kiss Otaku, and I had planned something online that basically said, okay, the album comes out on September, I don't even remember the date, 20-something. It was a Tuesday. I said, on this date, and I don't remember if it was that day of the release or the next day or a week later, let's all go to a bar, whether by yourself, with a friend, two friends, and at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, let's all raise a toast and raise your glasses to Kiss Psycho Circus. Now, some people got into that and doing that and having their little party and going to the tavern or the pub and stuff like that. But I think those are the types of things that are missing. You know, getting the fans charged up about going out and doing something.
Yeah.
Or just giving them the freedom to do it.
Well, yeah, and it's hard to get people to commit to do anything anymore, it seems like.
Yeah, so, you know, part of the buying experience was that anticipation, but clearly, as we've also said here, part of that buying experience is you going through a snowstorm, and I'll be hell or high water. I'm spinning this by hand, listening to it myself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Me walking in looking for something else and just being knocked off my feet because there's a completely unknown KISS cover staring at me.
Yeah.
I mean, so, yes, the experience is the new music and anticipation, but it's all the other craziness stuff that goes, you know, me with the Destroyer album going, who the hell recorded over my record?
That's funny.
Not even understanding how it would be possible to record over a vinyl record.
But just that's not relevant.
Somebody did it.
Yeah, I remember thinking when I was a kid, gosh, if we could just have something that would record stuff off a television, that would be so cool. This was before the VCR, and I was always used to think the thing would have to be the size of a desk to make it work right, you know, because all the computers are so huge, you know. So, yeah, you have all kinds of crazy thoughts when you're a kid, so, but that's part of the imagination.
Let me think of another buying experience. I won't get into Lick It Up because we recently just talked about that one. Where I talked about the whole, oh my God, just staring at the cover intensely. Well, the Elder experience for me, same thing. So I was in Minnesota. I remember it was a snowstorm. I remember like a week later was Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taking a family trip from Minnesota down to St. Louis to see my cousins. Were the same age as me. They were big Rush fans.
Uh-oh.
I think they respected me, but, you know. But I would say this. My cousin David, who was the big Rush fan, also was a huge Osmonds fan. He loved Donny Osmond and the Osmond Brothers.
One bad apple.
So just because you're cool enough to like Rush doesn't mean you're... You don't like some crap as well, like the Osmond Brothers.
Crazy horses.
But I remember walking into Music Land at Southtown. You always had your go-to record stores. And basically what I would do is I'd be on the phone like weeks in advance going, are you getting this? We don't know. And I'd try around. And finally when you get someone to say, yes, it's being ordered and it will be in. That became your go-to store.
Totally. Well, and can you only imagine what it must have been like in the late 70s working in a record store, especially if you didn't like the band? You got all of these crazy KISS fans calling and saying, is it there? Is it there? Is it out?
Are you getting it? Are you ordering it? Because that's what I would do. You know, we had, again, back in the day, come, kids, sit on Grandpa's lap here. Let me tell you a story.
Let me school ya.
We used to have record stores like you got Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, all over the place.
Yeah.
And you had your favorites, and you knew, you know, the close ones, and then further out and further out. You didn't want to go too far out because it was a long-ass drive home.
Right.
So you'd be calling them all again. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? And too far out, nobody knows what they're ordering. As it gets closer, they can look at their order sheet. Yes, we are ordering music from the Elder, and we'll have them in. We'll get them. All right, good. So Music Land becomes my go-to store for that album release. Other stores were Northern Lights, Great American Music, Third Stone Music, Harpo's. I don't know if I ever had to go to Down in the Valley, because that was further out for me to get to.
Right.
But, you know... Okay.
That still exists today. It's one of the few.
Yeah, it does. Music Land's going to get it. All right. So then once they're getting it, now like a week before, are you sure it's still coming in? Are you sure? The day before. Is it coming tomorrow? Yes, it's coming tomorrow. The morning of, you know, what time do they open?
9:30.
Did it come in? We don't know. The box
it's in the yeah, they haven't opened the box
back.
Yet.
Well, can I stay on hold while you go back there and unpack all of your albums?
What do you mean you haven't opened it yet?
Seriously, I'd be like, can you just put me on hold and can you run back there? Yeah, I've got 1,000 albums back there that need to be unpacked. What you know, call back at noon. That's when we'll have everything out. 12:01. Is it there? I'm not joking, people.
Oh, yeah.
12:01. Is it there? Did it come in your shipment? Because if it didn't, you've got your backup store that you're now calling just in case. Because
that has happened where they haven't shipped it to certain places and it's just a whatever.
Or they just didn't get everything unpacked in time. They only got half the new albums out and the other half will be dealt with tomorrow. I don't want to wait until tomorrow. It's today.
Right. Yeah, it's sitting in your shop. I want it now.
12:01. Did it arrive? Yes, it did. And we've got them out there. All right. We're not done yet, people. Now the next question is,
can you hold
how one? Many do you have? We've got 20 of them. Okay, fine. We've got two. Can you hold one of them for me?
Mm-hmm.
Can and you hold...
Yeah, and they're like, well, it's not going to sell out.
It's not going to sell out. Nobody's buying it. No, I don't care. Can you put my name on one? I will be there in 15 minutes. Okay, we'll do that. You know, drop everything, jump in the car. As you said, snow everywhere, barreling over to Musicland. Get in, you know, quick glance around. Oh, cool, I see it on the display. Run up. You've got an album on hold for me. I'm Mike. Here you go. Thank you. Buy it. But by that time, I was buying cassette tapes at the same time. Blank.
Yeah, so
I'd buy my new album and a blank cassette tape so I could put it on cassette tape right away so then I could listen to it in my car all the time. Run home, listen to it that first time. And the reason I was putting it on cassette tape was road tripping to St. Louis within a week. There's no way in hell I could be going on a road trip to a family vacation, be gone for a week, and not have a new Kiss record that I couldn't listen to for a week.
Oh, that'd kill you.
It'd kill me. Got to record this on cassette tape. And I don't know if I had Walkmans at the time or just little boom boxes.
With the little earpiece. Well, and then by the time you got home from St. Louis, you had the record memorized.
But I just remember having that on cassette tape, listening to it. And I remember being down in St. Louis and... My cousin was like, what is this? I'm like, it's the new Kiss. It's the new Kiss. It's music from the Elder. And they just weren't excited like I was. I was just couldn't get it. I'm just like, how can you not? This is new Kiss.
Probably because about the same time Rush was releasing Permanent Waves.
You think?
Yeah, which is a much better record, in my opinion.
Didn't faze me in the least. It's just like, I remember just thinking, you guys just don't get it. You guys just, that's fine. This is mine. I'm listening.
Yeah.
The Oath. Dark Light.
They're like, that's our dipshit cousin from Minneapolis. He's kind of the village idiot. He's a Kiss fan.
He's not the most articulate when it comes to knowing music.
But he loves that band.
But you love the Osmonds, so don't give me any shit.
Crazy Horses. Yeah, so no, that's a great story. Yeah, and I think all of us can relate to that to some degree with one or more records.
Yeah, you know? I mean, so for this week's homework, that's what I would love to hear.
Yeah.
Your homework is give us your buying experience. You don't have to get into the whole listening, but the buying experience. And whatever it might have been, buying 8-track cassette, vinyl, CD, the reissues for the first time, if that's the first time you've actually bought a physical Kiss product, the download, whatever that experience is.
Share it with us.
Write it down. Here, I also would love, call our voicemail, 1-320-515-4771. Again.
We got to keep up with that, though, and start playing some of those.
Well, I've gotten a couple of the... in stores submitted to us. So I want to follow up with that real quick in a second.
Okay. But
you can also leave us a voicemail to share your buying experience of a Kiss music. Call 320-515-4771. 3 minutes is what you got. So try and keep it to 3 minutes, guys. If you need to, if it's a really amazing story and you got to call twice, we might edit it together.
Yeah.
But we'll start picking some of these cool stories and we'll include them in future episodes. But I want to hear other people's amazing buying experiences because, like I said, it's the craziness that goes on. Like, oh, you're going through a snowstorm. You're spinning the needle, the turntable yourself because there's no power. It's, you know, it's me thinking somebody re-recorded over my vinyl album. I mean, what is your memorable buying experience of a Kiss item?
Yeah, we want to hear about it. Preferably, like, you know, not a product, but one of the records, CDs, cassettes.
Definitely buying a new release.
Yeah.
It could be the greatest hits. I don't care.
I don't care which one.
I don't care which one it is. It's just share the great story you had of what you went through or the anticipation leading up to, how you acquired it, what happened on the way home with it, how you, I don't know, I'm sure somebody out there has that new album and then couldn't listen to it for 3 days because something crazy happened.
Yeah, what do you do?
So, I mean, we've all got those experiences, even when it comes to just the digital downloads or even like Sonic Boom being at Walmart. What was your experience of driving to a Walmart, being greeted by the greeter?
Seeing 500 copies.
Tell us.
Yeah, we want to know.
And to follow up on last week's show, because we're going to do a show about Kiss in stores. We've already gotten some voicemails left to us. If you've ever done an in-store or met Kiss at some sort of an event, call and leave a voicemail about that as well and tell us. We want to share those stories in the recording of that episode. So call 320-515-4771. And leave your story about a meet and greet, meeting Kiss, whatever it might be like that.
That'd be wonderful.
Cool. So there's your homework. There's our voicemail. Let's just wrap things up.
Okay.
You know where you can find us and leave comments? Facebook.com/threesidesofthecoin. 3sidesofthecoin.com, youtube.3sidesofthecoin.com, iHeartRadio.3sidesofthecoin, Spreaker.3sidesofthecoin, TuneIn, Stitcher.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't forget to talk about the app.
Oh, thank you. And we've got a brand new Android app. Sorry, Apple users, which I am. Not available yet, but it will be coming soon. It's a free app. If you go to android.3sidesofthecoin.com, it'll redirect you straight to our app in the Google Play Store. Or you can search for 3 Sides of the Coin in the Google Play Store. You can download the 3 Sides of the Coin app, which is basically just a player for all of the episodes that are up on Spreaker. And you'll be able to listen to it on your smartphone.
We're trying to make it as easy for you as we can.
If you download it, go leave a comment. Go leave a comment on that download page on Google Play, what you think about the app, what you think about the show, whatever. Already a couple comments have been left. 5-star rating already for the app, which is very cool.
That's great.
And, no, I shouldn't put this on the show because the show will live forever. Just head over to shop.3sidesofthecoin.com if you want a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And the last thing, if you want a free guitar pick, I don't have any in front of me as I speak, you can send $1 and a self-addressed stamped envelope. Put postage on the envelope. Send it to 3 Sides of the Coin, 3001 Bridgeway Boulevard, Suite K, number 251, Sausalito, California 94965. You throw $1 in a self-addressed stamped envelope in there, and I will drop a 3 Sides of the Coin guitar pick in for you. And if you put $2 in there, I'll give you a Brandvold Ilk guitar pick as well.
Perfect. There you go.
There you go, guys. So another episode under our belt. And that's it.
I would say so.
All right.
Yeah. Cool. And watch for Dropping the Needle too, guys.
Yeah, go check out Dropping the Needle. DroppingTheNeedle.com or Facebook.com/DroppingTheNeedle. If you like this same type of discussion, but about all music, it'll be there.
Yep.
Later.
Bye.